The Philadelphia Eagles draft recap edition of the Die Hard Eagles podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Betsball Mania is live with $15 million in prizes. Sign up with promo code SGPN to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. UnderdogFantasy.com, promo code SGPN. We're also brought to you by Royal Retros. Royal Retros has jerseys, t-shirts, hats, jackets, and sweatshirts from all the old-school teams that you love. Use promo code SGPN for 10% off your order today. That's code SGPN at RoyalRetros.com. Welcome, everyone, to the Die Hard Eagles podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. I'm Sean, Sack of the Money Green, with my fellow diehards, Rob and Justin. Rob, how are we feeling post-Eagles draft?
I'm feeling good. It's hard not to be happy with it. I mean, first of all, day of the draft, news broke, A.J. Brown extension, so hard to like that. Kind of knew it was coming after Devonta got paid. There was no way he was going to not get paid himself. We've been calling for a cornerback. We wanted to address the defense, and they did it in a big way to get, you know, Mitchell at 22. I mean, I think if they had traded up to 12, which was kind of what was being talked about before the draft and took him, we'd still be happy. And then to get him at 22 without giving up any picks, I mean, was frankly amazing. And then to get Cooper DeJean in the second round was equally amazing. So, you know, between those two picks right there, I think we won the draft. It's hard not to be happy.
Yeah. I mean, A-plus draft grades all around. What more could you want from Howie? Yeah, I honestly, it kind of reminds me of the year before where I would have been happy with Nolan Smith as their first pick. They were able to get Jalen Carter and Nolan Smith both in the first round. Justin, we were doing a bunch of mock drafts where we had Cooper DeJean a lot in the first round. I don't think we thought we could get Cooper or Quinyon Mitchell at 22. And then to get DeJean in the second round, I think you got to feel pretty good about what Howie did, at least early.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you got arguably the two best cornerbacks in the draft. I mean, and it was such a need for us too. So it's not even like, hey, we got these guys who could be massively talented down the road. I mean, these are guys who hopefully we could start maybe even seeing this season, you know, have an impact, especially with what we talked about before with Bradbury being, you know, he's definitely at the tail end of his career at this point. I mean, that was great. Yeah. And then the other thing, yeah, who knows at this point? I agree. I mean, and the other thing that was cool and interesting too is we were able to get that kid out of Houston Christian, Jalix Hunt. I mean, it sounded like that was a Fangio pick, and we were willing to take him. And I don't know if anybody quite knew a ton about him. I even went to look. I forget if it was PFF or NFL.com, and it was they didn't have a ton of information on him. It was very limited. I think when you're at Houston Christian, there's not a ton out there. So excited for him. And Will Shipley, too. I mean, great to see. And it's funny, we got a white cornerback. We got a white running back here. Blankenship must be excited.
He's worried. His angle. We haven't even gotten to Jeremiah Trotter Jr. We were dying for a linebacker. Get the Axeman's son, who also does the axe swinging celebration. I didn't realize. I thought Jeremiah Trotter just did the axe swinging because it was badass. But apparently, his dad used to make him chop wood back in the day to get him strong. So he actually was a wood chopper. The Jalix Hunt pick, yeah, I think he's pretty interesting. One, just because of how much Fangio likes him. He supposedly, like, he went to the Shrine Bowl and, Fangio said, hey, there's one guy I really want to get, and it's Jalix Hunt. So he went out of his way to mention how much he was in on Jalix Hunt. I don't know if I think we put it in our group chat of Jalix Hunt just randomly tweeting about the animal, the eagle, It was pretty great. He apparently they have two sets of eyelids, and he had this like long thing about what awesome animals the eagles are. So I'm already in on Jalix Hunt. I'll try and pull up the tweet because it is pretty cool. He's just dropping some animal facts. But Rob, any misses for Howie? Anything you wish Howie would have got done in the draft?
No, you know. A couple times when he kept trading back, I was like, let's just pick a guy already. Like, but
you were upset he was trading so much.
Well, it's never as exciting trading back as trading up, obviously. But they did trade up to get DeGene. I'm fine with it. I saw a couple people speculated maybe they're trying to accumulate picks if they lose a pick for the Saquon tampering. Or maybe it's just good drafting to get picks for next year. I mean, they did get good value for those trade downs, I think. So, as a whole, I think it worked out well. I mean, I think Jalix Hunt, certainly is a guy that I don't know how much he's going to contribute this year. I don't think we should expect a ton from him, but I think he's clearly taken on his physical talent and, hoping they can develop him. So I like the pick. I like taking a couple flyers on guys like that because, honestly, all these guys are flyers anyway. So if you think a guy really has potential that you can develop, take a shot on one or two. It's not, especially not the first round. So I'm all for it. I like the draft. I like that we addressed the defense. I like that we got a running back. I think we needed that. Overall, win. It's really hard to complain this year, honestly. I mean, we'll see in 3 years how these players pan out. That's when you can really grade a draft. But initial reaction, I mean, almost everything I read had the Eagles amongst the highest, the top-rated teams.
Taking a quick break to talk about Underdog Fantasy. Love Underdog Fantasy, available in 30 plus states, including California, Texas, and even our good buddies up north. Love Underdog Fantasy's higher, lower, the pick'em. You can win up to 100x if you get some of those spicy plays in there. Shout out to Florida. They just launched the Champions, their player versus player format in Florida. Love me, Underdog Fantasy. Of course, Best Ball Mania. It's great. You draft fantasy football players, never have to set a lineup, deal with waivers at all. Just draft your team, set it, and forget it. Again, sign up today using the promo code SGPN to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. UnderdogFantasy.com, promo code SGPN. Yeah, they were able to pick up a third, fourth, and fifth next year, which how is that not good drafting? I think it's a nice snag. For them, I did find the Jalix Hunt a bird tweet. This is him responding to someone with an eagle saying, amazing bird, two set of eyelids, one set being hard and transparent. When storms approach, instead of hiding, they use those transparent eyelids to fly into the storm. Debris can't affect vision, and they use the storm to rise above the storm itself, working to be like the eagle. I mean, right there, one tweet. He's got to do sweet like eagle celebration.
His initial conversation with Howie was something too.
Yeah. He's like, hey, hold on, man. I gotta talk to someone. Can I put you on hold? Like, how happy are you to be an eagle? He's like, yeah, this is great. Hey, hold on a second. I gotta talk hold to someone.
Let me go slap Howie on the ass.
I think he did that to Nick actually, the hold on.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
it's just Nick's my new head coach. No big deal.
Yeah. He'll check in on the meetings. Justin, any critiques of Howie? I mean, again, he got us Trott Jr. He got a pass rusher. He got some late linemen. He got two shots at cornerback.
I know some people wanted, maybe a good linebacker, but those guys are so hit and miss at this point that I feel like it kind of goes against our philosophy still to go high with that. And with the cornerbacks there, DeGene and Mitchell, no sense in doing that. So, I mean, he made all the right moves, as you pointed out. We got the picks for next year. If I said maybe there's a need, especially in a year or two, that it would have been nice to get and have an impact on, maybe a tight end. And I know I was kind of pushing for that when we talked about, drafting this last podcast, but hey, there's no reason to reach for it, especially with what we got out of this. So I'm not the least bit upset.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, like looking at the defense and how they revamped it. I mean, You know, Trotter Jr., we'll see what he can do. I'm not saying he's overhauling the linebacker position or anything, but, you know, certainly gives us some depth. But then if you look at the secondary in the corner, I mean, all of a sudden we actually have some talent, right? Because we have Mitchell, we have DeJean, we have Slay still. Bradbury, you know, I'm kind of counting him out. I think there's a good chance he's not on the team. But yeah, then at safety, you know, we have Blankenship. We signed CJ GJ. We have the other guy coming back from injury. I keep blanking on his name.
Sydney,
yes. So we have him. You know, Eli Ricks, you know, on the outside. You know, we signed Isaiah Rogers, who now was reinstated as a corner. So, like, all of a sudden, we actually have some depth in the secondary, and it's great to see.
Yeah, no, it'll be – I can almost tell you 100% that Bradbury is going to be one of those June 1st post-cap because we can save a bunch in the cap space. So I think he's totally gone.
I agree, Sean.
Yeah, I do think Quinn Mitchell end up being the starting starting cornerback opposite Darius Slay. And then, you know, I don't think you mentioned it, Rob, but Avante Maddox, they cut and re-signed at a team-friendly deal. So, I mean, if we can get Avante Maddox going, we got CJ GJ, Reed Blankenship. Sydney Brown was looking good when he was playing. I think he might be a long recovery, but he's young. There's no rush to bring him back. The secondary seems just like in a much better spot. Now, Hassan Reddick, not having him, we'll see if this guy they brought in for the Jets, he can help out with the pass rush. Ideally, Jalen Carter takes a step up year two. Jordan Davis had like a good start to the season, then kind of tailed off, but maybe Fangio can get the most out of him. Any thoughts, AJ Brown deal? I mean, pretty straightforward. Like, and again, just this is just a Howie Love Fest where he got the deal done for Jalen Hurts at the right time. He got the deal done for Devonta, AJ Brown, all ahead of schedule. I mean, a lot of teams will say, like, hey, you can't pay a franchise quarterback and two big time receivers. And, you know, Lane Johnson's getting paid pretty good. Like, again, hats off. Like, he really seems to do a good job attacking it before. Like, if he would have waited on AJ Brown, he would have had to pay him way more, it seems like, right?
Yeah, I agree with you, Sean. It made sense. I mean, he ended up setting the record for annual value, right? $32 million. But you know how Howie works those contracts too, and everything he's able to do with them. I think he surpassed St. Brown with that. But yeah, we had to do it, and it always seems like it's best to do it early, obviously, because the next guy up is just going to get paid more, and his impact to the team is amazing, right? And he just opens up so much more for us with Devontae there and for Goddard. And now that we have Saquon, I mean, it's just – I think you do it now, especially with the team we've built now.
Yeah,
I mean, I think too, with A.J. Brown, I mean, one – there's a couple teams that are hating that deal right now, like the Vikings, Dallas, you know, the Bengals, who have wide receivers to sign. But I think I saw, and I could be wrong, I don't have the details in front of me, that it was an extension too, right? So he's still playing out the last 2 years on his current deal or something like that. So the new money actually doesn't kick in, if I remember right, for like a year or two, when, you know, wide receiver salaries are presumably going to be even higher. So that has to be kept kind of in context as well, if I'm remembering that right, that, you know, maybe in 2 years, that $30 million seems like a bargain for him.
Yeah, I mean, I think they played it right. Like, hey, this is the first year of the cap going up. So I think there is something to... wow, this is way more than I would have thought we were going to get for this deal. Even Saquon. At first, when everyone saw that Saquon deal as the first running back deal, they're like, wow, running backs are back to getting paid. And then you see the rest of the deals. And basically, you know, the cap going up brought everyone's floor up. Perfect time to sign everyone. Because I think you're right. In a couple of years, this is going to look like some good deals for the Eagles.
Sorry, I just want to... just to add to what Rob said, yeah, we'll have him through the 2029 season. The cap hit there is $29 million. So as Rob said, like, yeah, I mean, In 2029, $29 million, granted he'll be 32 years old, it's still going to be a decent deal for us, pending that he's still healthy.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's done a pretty good job staying healthy out there. Rookie of the year odds, no one, I don't think anyone on the Eagles offensive rookie of the year. And Will Shipley, I couldn't find a price on him. But some of the defensive guys, Quinyon Mitchell is 11-1. Cooper DeJean, 20-1 for defensive rookie of the year. Jalix Hunt, 130-1. I think I'll probably, now normally defensive rookie of the year goes to, it's pretty hard for a pick not in the first round to get it. Now maybe Cooper DeJean has a shot because he was close to being a first rounder. I am going to put whatever it is, 10, 20 bucks on Jalix Hunt, rookie of the year at whatever kind of crazy 100, 200 to one, just because if he can get sacks and maybe he finds a role early on, in that edge pass rusher and it really clicks, that would be a super fun one to hit. I'm worried Quinyon Mitchell. I like it. It usually goes to a first round pass rusher, which the Eagles don't have. But Justin, what are your thoughts on defensive rookie of the year betting wise?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. You got to kind of lean Mitchell here as the safe bet. If you want to take, I mean, I understand you going for Hunt there. Makes sense, but who knows? Maybe if DeJean could come out and maybe he works himself into the rotation, has some hot games. I mean, gets a few interceptions here and there. Might be worth that, plus 2,000 you pointed out there. I would also like to add that I had Jalen Carter and I'm still pissed that he got snubbed at the end of the season. If he could have pushed past, you know, had a decent outing probably the last two games. It seemed like he had it in hand like four or five games left in the season and then he just kind of shit the bed.
No, he was the odds-on favorite to begin the season, and to your point, even that last month, like right before the Eagles' collapse started defensively, he was up there as the favorite, and yeah, I mean, the whole fucking defense fell apart. Rob, any thought? And Cooper DeJean, look out, because he is a special teams guy, returns punts for touchdowns. Give him one or two of those. I mean, just imagine the electric scene at Lincoln Financial Field when Cooper DeJean takes one to the house. I'm trying to remember, when was the last time off the top of your head, Rob, that we had someone take a punt return for a touchdown? I feel like it's been a while.
Oh, maybe it's been forever. DeSean Jackson, for all I know, who knows? been a long time, but no, I mean, I agree with you.
Oh,
guys,
you know which one? I vaguely remember it. Now it was the it was that Packers game where they started coming back in the 2020 season, kind of the end there. It was the game where where Wentz got benched, I think, for Jalen Hurts. Greg Ward, Jalen Reagor, 73-yard punt return. Wow, taking me back. Before that, you got to go back to 2015. So if we can get one from Cooper DeJean, he would become an instant legend.
What's this Covey punt return? It wasn't touchdown, though, was it?
Yeah, Covey had a couple good ones. That'll be interesting. Oh, and we didn't even get to the sheet, but we should pour one out here for the legend Boston Scott. Just a fun guy to root for, you know, had those touchdowns, reliable touchdowns against the Giants. I don't know, not someone you're probably gonna miss day in, day out, although I would say he had some moments there. He was a nice change of pace back. I think you know, he had a couple good games in the playoffs in the 2022 season on the Super Bowl run. So, you know, he always had a limited skill set, small guy, but bummer that he's not going to be on the team.
I can move on. No, I liked it. Don't get me wrong.
No thoughts on Boston Scott?
No, I mean, look, he had his moments. He was fine. He was solid. Obviously, he was good against the Giants, but – you know, I think we've clearly upgraded the position this year, and I think we'll be okay.
You think Saquon's better than Boston Scott, Rob?
I'll say yes.
I'll say Will Shipley is.
I mean, Saquon may not even be the number one back. We'll see after we get out of training camp.
Oh, I like this, Rob. You must have probably good transition to the press. The offense.
I'm referring to Gainwell, by the way, for the record.
Yeah. Oh. The cord, not Shipley making a run here. As excited as Joseph got there. The coordinators finally had their press conference. I know Rob was very angry that they had not been talked to the media yet. Rob, I know you're a big press conference guy. Oh, offensive defensive coordinator Kellen Moore and Fangio both got to meet the firing line that is the Philadelphia media. Any takeaways from the coordinators?
Yeah, you know, it's ridiculous it took this long. I agree. Like, you hire the guys, they're big hires.
I agree. Let's, with like, me.
Get them out. Get them out for a press conference. But
yeah,
no, I mean, a couple things jumped out. I mean, one with Fangio, you know, he just came across as a guy that commands respect. And he, you know, you got the sense that he was no nonsense. Like, he gives direct answers. He's going to adjust the scheme. He's going to, you know, look at the players. I think he even referenced at one point he wishes they could practice more. So, you know, he's a guy that I think is exactly what we need coming off of last year. He's going to instill some discipline. And, you know, if he can't make it work, he can't make it work. But, you know, I felt good about it, you know, listening to that press conference. And then, you know, Kellen Moore, you know, a couple things I liked. I mean, he talked about blending what they did well last year. I mean, I hope he just threw Nick's playbook in the trash, but I'm sure he's being, you know, a little bit polite in the press conference. But he did reference explicitly, like, yes, we're going to run motion, and you run motion for two things. One, to, you know, get a look of what the defense is doing, but two, to kind of, you know, put pressure on the defense. And, you know, I liked hearing that. We didn't do that last year. So, you know, I came across impressed. You know, he comes across as a guy that, you know, sounds like an offensive nerd, and that's exactly what I want. A guy who's going to scheme, a guy who's going to adjust, and, you know, let's see what happens. I think we clearly upgraded that, you know, both coordinator positions.
Yeah, no, I mean, and it did seem like, I mean, from early on just how the whole defensive coordinator thing was handled, right? Where, hey, it was going to be Gannon coming back, but if not, it was Fangio, and then Gannon kind of jerked them around, and then they weren't able to. Yeah, and then, you know, they ended up going with this guy with no experience, and that ended up being a disaster. It was like pretty early on, the players weren't buying in. I mean, I think that was a big part of the collapse. Then they put in Patricia, who, you know, had like two quarters of competent football, and then that was a complete collapse. I am slightly worried, though, for the Eagles fan base that Fangio's system is a zone system, and that, you know, you could see some of these cornerbacks playing off, which is sometimes frustrating. Sometimes frustrating to watch. But I do think we're going to get some pressure on the quarterback, and I do think he's competent. I do think he's also going to hold guys accountable, which clearly was an issue last year. And he was talking about, you know, they asked, hey, not many practices last season, which the practice thing is funny. Like, they, you know, didn't do a ton of physical practices in 2022 when they made it to the Super Bowl and they had everyone healthy for that Super Bowl. And then they install the same scheme, you know, same lack of practice, same practice schedule for 2023. Epic collapse late. People are like, yeah, see, that's what happens when you don't practice. It does sound like there's going to be a little more physicality, some intensity to training camp and practices. So I'm looking forward to that. Justin, were you able to catch
it? It is funny you talk about the practice thing, because the one thing that I think we heard from, I forget who left us and went to the Niners, but last year was talking about how grueling the practices are in San Francisco. Hargrave, thank you. About how grueling the practices are in San Francisco, and all of the Eagles fans were like, man, see, that's why we didn't make it, like you said, and the Niners did. But then if you look at, you know, the track record of Niners injuries, it's like, oh, maybe that's actually why they weren't able to make it, you know, be as successful the last few years. With that said, I mean, there is a little bit of give and take to the physicality of practices, and who knows where we end up this season. It does sound like Fangio wants to work it in a little bit more. He's more of a physical guy. I agree with you with the zone there, Sean. But just because we play zone doesn't mean you can't, you know, mix it up a little bit, have hybrid schemes. And he's done it well. I mean, you know, we can get on jam guys still and play zone on the other side of the field as well. So hopefully that happens. We're able to design things where, you know, just create some fits for the offense. And as Rob pointed out, you know, he's more of a no-nonsense guy. He should be able to have the answers for the defensive players this time around when they do start asking questions or, you know, feel like things aren't going well, right? Yeah, and even just scheme second half and get things in order.
There was just too, like he has shown that he does adjust on his defense. Like even last year in Miami, he started blitzing more, and they had like a lot of injuries on their defense. So he is a guy that will adapt. He isn't just super rigid. We're doing the same thing every single time. I mean, he even referenced in his press conference that like every year he'll break down like a couple of the other team's defense just to see if he can learn, you know, learn something, pick things up. So I like hearing that. And, you know, he did basically also say in the press conference, like if Gannon hadn't have been such a loser, he would have been here that year. He admitted that in his press conference.
Yeah,
they're like, safe to say if Gannon wasn't here, you would have been? He's like, yeah, sure. It's funny because usually they like won't answer a hypothetical question like that, but he really had no issue. Seemed happy to answer it. I love how he, I mean, whatever. Fuck Jonathan Gannon. And yeah, I'm excited to see this Fangio defense. I'm excited to see, and supposedly by all accounts, Cooper DeJean and Quinyon Mitchell are like going to be good fits. For this for the Fangio scheme. So excited to see that. Excited to see Kellen Moore in the offense. It's just really I'm jacked. Next week they got the schedule released. Sean, obviously we already know our week one. Yeah.
My question for you is, so they already had a rookie mini camp, right?
Yep.
We saw AJ Brown there. We saw who was the other guy that was there? Mailata was there. Where was Hurts?
It was a rookie mini camp, Rob. I mean, what's he supposed to do? Show up there?
I mean, why was AJ Brown there? Why was Mailata there? You know, I would have liked to see him there as well.
Yeah, Mailata probably wanted, you know, make the rookies listen to his ukulele playing or, you know, talk to people about the benefits of spam. I don't know. I always love to see guys like Hurts, the quarterback, leading from the front, showing up in spots where you don't need to show up. But also, it's not like they draft. You know, I guess they did have a receiver late that could be interesting. But yeah, I don't know. Hurts, I mean, there was that sweet photo of him and Saquon Barkley having a squad off. So I feel confident. That was also very I still crack up that he's in the gym working out squatting with in a polo shirt, which just seems so odd to me. Overall, he seems like he's a guy with a pretty good work ethic. So we'll see. But yeah, the proof is in the pudding. I'm excited. I'm talking myself into this season. Schedule comes out next week. We already know that we're starting the season off in Brazil, which is going to be kind of weird. But other than that, to me, I just don't want to see three road games. I know we had three road games in 2022 and we ended up going to the Super Bowl, but the three road games, it seems like every time that third road game is almost a guaranteed loss. So as long as we don't have the three road games, I'll be feeling pretty good about the schedule. Of course, they're going to have a LA game. That's fun. Justin, any thoughts on the Eagles schedule release coming up?
Not really, to be honest with you. I think you put out a good point, the three road games. I will say, you know, depending on the evening games, I'd like to not see too many of, you know, under the lights. I'm sorry, Rob. I feel like I'm stealing Rob's material here.
I was just going to say that. You beat me to it.
Well, I am not a big fan. It impacts, you know, especially the Monday night games I'm at work. All that stuff, it sucks.
Usually the prime time it's too late, but for you it's because it's during the week and it's so early out there in island country. And poor Rob, they're making him stay up to like almost midnight. guy's gonna be there with a cup of coffee, some espresso.
Year we had like 2 1 o'clock games. It was ridiculous.
It was crazy. Rob, it really was.
Rob wants the team to suck just so they get less primetime games so he can get better sleep. I'm convinced. Any we always talk about going to a road game. Any interesting road game spots coming up for the Eagles?
I mean, I think I plan to come out to LA and then kind of see where everything else pans out from there as far as like time of year, because I don't want to go anywhere too cold weather, you know, in December.
Taking a quick break to talk about Royal Retros. Looking to prove that you know ball. What better way to showcase your old school fandom than with some old school gear from a classic team? I'm on the RoyalRetros.com site right now. They got a bunch of like old school hockey, ABA, like minor league, Negro League jerseys, which are, you know, sometimes those are hard to find. Some really cool team names. Cool. It's just cool gear. If you're a football fan, you gotta love it. They even have a quote unquote birds jersey. Love the old school colors they got here. Again, looks super fresh. Highly, highly recommend RoyalRetros.com and use that promo code SGPN. Get you 10% off RoyalRetros.com, promo code SGPN. Yeah, some of the road games at Ravens, at Bengals, at Cowboys, at Rams, at New Orleans Saints. I could be talked into that depending on the time of the year and how it fits. I've never been to New Orleans. That seems like a fun party town. Rob, any road trip potential Eagles spots? Or, I mean, we haven't done a home game in God knows how long, so maybe we figure out a home game. That would be pretty sweet.
I'm with you. There's none that immediately jumps out at me. I mean, maybe LA, like Justin said, or you know, New Orleans could be fun too. I agree with you, Sean. But other than that, the other ones aren't super interesting. I'm like you. I'd rather, especially if it's in the fall, winter, I want to go somewhere warm.
Yeah, no, I mean, and it didn't work out because Green Bay, I think, ultimately was a home game, but like Lambeau would definitely be on the bucket list of places I'd want to see a game and get it done in cold weather. All right, closing it out with our signature segment, Rival Reddit, pulling some stuff from the opponents' subreddits. I didn't have to troll around too long. I clicked on one, the Giants, and immediately, you know, Giants, there was rumors, hey, we're going to trade up, try and get Drake May, couldn't get it done. And now the rationalizing of Daniel Jones has begun. Hey, he's not that bad. Don't worry. This is a tweet from Jordan Renan, one of their beat reporters. The Daniel Jones slander is out of control. Played at a top 10 levels, 6 in QBR 2 years ago. Like, just already right there is a hilarious place to start. Had 4 starts from start to finish in 2023, and now he's below every rookie quarterback in career backups. The idea he's a complete scrub is stupid. Last season was a total disaster for a variety of reasons. He played poorly, was without Andrew Thomas and Saquon for those 4 starts. One, he doesn't have Saquon. 2, he's coming off an injury. 3, their offensive line is not fixed. I do think he sucks. And the Giants themselves told you they suck. They were willing to like trade their 6th pick to try and move up to get a quarterback. They signed Drew Lock because they don't think he is good enough to be a starter. So I love the fact that they're already talking themselves into Daniel Jones. Justin, anything you come across on the team subreddits?
I think it was the Stephen Jones said something about nobody wants to say it. No one wants to say it, but it's a cap issue, something along those lines. And then I did see, and I don't have it in front of me at the moment, but it seemed like Cowboys fans really jumped all over that. They're like, you act like every other team doesn't have have cap, you know, have to work with the cap. Maybe you should have thought about the fact that, you know, the cap space beforehand before it became an issue and all that. So they seem to jump down his throat pretty quick.
Yeah, and they re-signed Zeke, so that's always good for him.
Yeah,
Although Zeke, you know, in New England, I don't know. I guess he didn't look horrible, but probably not a lot left in that in the old Zeke tank. Rob, anything you stumble upon that we can make fun of here?
Yeah, it's funny you said they're rationalizing Daniel Jones, because I was on the Giants Reddit, and there's a post, how should the New York Giants front office handle a QB competition between Daniel Jones and Drew Lock, which is hilarious, because if that's their options, I feel pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I think now it's 8 out of 10 seasons they've had 6 wins or less for the Giants, so just kind of a poverty franchise, as the kids would say there. I'm pulling up the odds here. Let's see. Futures. I think you can find odds on, yes, starting quarterback. Who will be the starting quarterback? You can get Drew Lock at almost 3-1. Daniel Jones is a prohibitive minus 475 favorite. I actually think Drew Lock, there's a decent chance he ends up stealing this job. So kind of a fun bet. If you want to get in on that, Justin, what do you think? Who starts for the Giants, Drew Lock or Danny Dimes?
I think Danny Dimes, you know, I think Daboll just says, I just can't quit you. And he throws him back in, and they just roll with him.
I mean, Dimes is definitely starting the season. The question is, how long does that last? But they're going to start him, you know, week one.
Yeah, he's on a, I think, probably, I still think there's a chance if Drew Lock has a pulse, maybe they try and move on from him. But yeah, either way, Giants will continue to suck. Cowboys will blow it in the playoffs. And we didn't get to the Commanders, but, you know, they also strong track record sucking. Hey, next podcast, we are going to be breaking down the Eagles schedule. That's right. Schedule release right around the corner. Make sure you give us a follow on the old X at Diehard Eagles 52 for the Diehard Eagles podcast. I'm Sean, Stack of the Money Green. For Rob, for Justin, go Birds!
Go Birds!
Go Birds!
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.